Welcome, brothers and sisters, whether you're here in person or else here online. We just hope that you experience God's presence. Our minds get so caught up in things. We're thinking about, oh, I got to get this done, got to get that done. We're just trying to sort and all this. But there's a time to just be still and know, to experience His presence. He wants to spend that time with you. So in the middle of your busy week, just set aside some time. You got a lot of stuff on your mind, on your agenda, whatever. Just, okay, I'm going to set this aside and spend some time with the Lord. Not just on Sunday mornings. We get to feel His presence here in a special way. But He's always there, and He's always reaching out to us. So let's worship Him by singing this morning, by offering ourselves up, and by hearing His word. Let's start with the readings.
First reading is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, 1 through 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Second lesson is from the book of Exodus, chapter 18, 13 through 26. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice. And may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to Him. Teach them His decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you, the simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain of all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases were brought to Moses, but the simple cases, ones they decided themselves.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel reading is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this chance to gather together in your name and in your presence. May we feel your presence, and may your words speak to us, not just to our minds, Lord, but to our spirits and to our hearts, that we may come away changed to be more like you. Amen. All three of our readings today dealt with leadership, and each one of you has led in some capacity. Maybe you've been a leader in your family, raising kids, an important job. People, or some women, almost seem like ashamed to say they're a stay-at-home mom. No. Is there a more important job than that? Raising the kids, instilling your values, teaching them right from wrong? Would you rather have someone else teach your kids right from wrong, or do you want to pass on your values? That's important, isn't it? Some of you have been leaders at work. You've been a foreman, or maybe a director, or a boss, or something like that. Maybe in the military, you've been a squad leader or something. Some of you maybe have taught Sunday school, an important leadership position as well. But we've all experienced leadership. Sometimes it's been thrust upon us. We don't really want it. Other times, you know, we see a position and God's sort of calling. And some people are natural leaders and others would just as soon say, no thanks. You know, it's just not my gifting. And hey, that's cool too. Because we all have those different gifts to be the complete body of Christ. When I was in the Army, or in the Guards there, once I got to advanced to sergeant, I had to go to leadership school. They wanted any NCO to go through leadership school, as well, of course, the officers. And they had designed schools, and we went for 3 weeks to learn how to lead efficiently. And the big three things with the Army, they said leadership provides purpose, direction, and motivation. Still remember that, okay. And this is years ago. I guess they really ground it in there or something. But yeah, you have to give your followers a purpose. You can't just let them go their own ways. They have to be a purpose and aligned together, right? And they got to have direction, tell them what to do. Or more importantly, is they'll get to show them what to do. And also motivation, to keep motivated. Now that was, of course, important in the Army because when you give orders there, they are to be followed. They're not suggestions, they are orders. And sometimes they're not easy ones. Maybe a machine gun position has to be taken and someone has to charge it. Orders. Be followed. So some people in that course were sort of natural leaders. They always stick out. There's something about them. They just have that natural ability. It's hard to put into words, but you recognize it when you see it. Other people are put into leadership because they are experts in a field. As you become more and more knowledgeable in a certain field, someone will probably promote you to foreman or something like that. Okay, you're head of a construction crew or something like that. You've been doing it for years. You know what's going on. After a while, you find yourself teaching the younger ones. And some people are leaders because of rank, because they're wearing something on their uniform that says they're a leader. Yeah. Okay. Again, some of them are natural leaders, some are not. But the leadership can be a tough position. And like we had said with that construction crew foreman, what you're doing is you're teaching those under you. A big part of leadership is teaching. Showing others what to do. Not just always telling them verbally, but showing, leading by example, one of the most powerful ways that we can lead. And that's what Christ did. He led by example. He lived that life that showed us how we are to treat others, how we are to have compassion, how we are to love others, even those that think or live differently than we do, which can be a challenge. But if we follow his example, we can't follow it perfectly. Okay, we're human, right? We got that human thing going on. But we can try to follow his example. We've all served under leaders, some that we have respect for, some wonderful ones, and some that we wish we hadn't served under, perhaps. What do you think of a good leader? What are some qualities and characteristics that a good leader has? What are some things that come to mind? Honesty, very important, yes. Have faith, okay. Why? Compassion, yes, for those serving under them. Absolutely. Any other words? integrity, that goes in with the honesty, they're trustworthy, they have that compassion, and all these things that you just said, I think they all describe Jesus, don't they? Compassion? Absolutely. Trustworthy? Who are you going to trust more? Okay, who are you going to trust more? Honest? Absolutely. Integrity? Yeah, he has all that. And caring for those under him. 100%. And that's our God, you know, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still having the compassion. He's still healing. He's still caring for people many times through us now, as we are his hands and feet in this world. Okay, let's look at the opposite end then. Let's flip that coin over. How about someone that's not a good leader? Maybe a bad leader, let's just say it. What are some characteristics that they have? Selfish, big one. Perhaps not real organized, yeah?
Pride,
yeah, big one, exactly. Not reliable, okay, no. Short-sighted, they don't have that vision that a leader is expected to have. And hopefully that leader has people helping him to lead as well to get that vision, right? Like here at the church, we got a wonderful team of deacons that we set our vision of what we want to accomplish. Absolutely. So it's just the opposite of others. But yeah, to bully others, perhaps you've seen people like that. Maybe you've experienced it. You've worked under someone like that. Not good. To build up self, that four-letter word self once again. Pride tied right in there with it, right? Not there for others, but for themselves. Having the wrong motive, doing it for the wrong reasons, to build themselves up rather than others. Absolutely. So yeah, we've served under those people, and you see them in the corporate world as well, or the political world. How do they get up the ladder? By pushing others down, right? And that's not a model that we respect or seek to follow, for sure, but it does exist. In the political or the corporate world, it's very, very real. With leadership, then, there is a measure of power that goes with it. This person has some authority to make decisions and things like that. And many times they overstep it. And with that authority come things like the greed and the power and the self-will. They say that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You look through history, you're going to see that. Many kings that came into power, that's a tough job. If you read through 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles in the Old Testament, you're going to see many kings that are all about self. And a few every once in a while that were about serving God. Now, they had their faults as well, even David. They all did. They all get the human thing going on. But the ones that seek to serve God, I've got a lot of respect for that, where they put God first. That's the kind of leader I'd like to follow. Well, Peter's talking about leadership here as well. And he knows that during the persecution, he's writing here, when Nero's in power, he's nearing the end of his life, and the church, the persecution is really ramping up here, that leaders are going to be necessary if the faith is to survive. And good leaders are needed. And that's what he's writing here in his letter. To the elders among you, the elders are the ones that were perhaps solid in the faith, they're respected, and they would be the leaders then. They didn't really have pastors and such back then, although that was developing. They had people that had the gifts of exhortation and of speaking and things like that, and they were using it for God's purposes. I appeal as a fellow elder, fellow leader, a witness of Christ's sufferings. And yes, absolutely. Just read through the Gospels. Was Peter there the whole time? Yes. When Christ suffered, was persecuted, Peter denied him. He was an eyewitness to all this. And also will share in the glory to be revealed. So he knew that, yeah, these sufferings are coming, but we need to keep our eyes on the prize, that we are all going to share in the glory to be revealed. And Jesus comes again. Those of us who are believers are going to be rejoicing. It's going to be incredible. I sort of hope that will happen during my lifetime so I get to experience it. Wow. But there are so many friends and neighbors that we have that it's not going to be a joyful time. Yeah, their knees will bow and their tongues will confess, but their futures may not be as bright. So we need to keep that in mind as well. We have that great commission. We are to bring this good news to others that they can share in it. That at that last day, they are going to be rejoicing as well when we get to sit at the right hand with the sheep rather than left with the goats and hear those words, you know, good and faithful servant. And that sentence is going to be worth more than anything else to me. To hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I mean, that is just humbling. Yeah, okay, I'm getting off track, but I can't wait for that. Okay, be shepherds of God's flock. Okay, to lead them, to care for them, to provide for them, to heal them, to protect them, all the things that a shepherd does that is under your care. Even if it's just a small flock, you got a couple Sunday school students or a small family or something like that, you put yourself into that. You lead them in the right paths. You are that shepherd. Alrighty? Serving as overseers. Okay, watching over others and watching out for their good. Not because you must, but because you are willing. Yes. Yes, because you are willing. A good leader, then, is one that is doing it for the right reasons. Because they are willing to. Not that they're seeking power, not that they're seeking greed or anything like that. But they are willing to. I think of our deacons here in the church that I mentioned earlier. They're willing to give up their time for this position. It's all volunteer. But they're giving to God. They're offering themselves up, Lord, however you want to use me. Help me to guide this church in the right way. Help me to guide these people in the right way. What a wonderful thing. That's the type of leaders we're looking for. Not doing it for selfish reasons, but giving of themselves to God. Not greedy for money, but being examples to the flock. And there's a big part of leadership as well, leading by example. And when we are all, as Christians, living out the example. People are watching us. All the non-Christians out there are watching us. How are we representing Christ? In everything we say and do? Or just Sunday mornings? It ought to be a lifestyle, right? A lifestyle of worship and a lifestyle of honoring Him and letting Him direct our ways by what we say and by what we do. And those two need to be aligned, right? Don't say one thing, do another. No, aligned, following Him faithfully. That's what we're called to be. We are ambassadors for Christ. It's a big responsibility that we all bear to represent Him faithfully. Even when our human side wants to answer back with different words at times, wants to do different things, you got to, okay, no, I'm going to follow God. What would Jesus do, right? Like those little bracelets they used to have. What would Jesus do in this situation? If you're doing what He would do, you're doing the right thing. You are doing the right thing. Because He always does what's right. All right, so being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory. It'll never fade away. Now, we don't do it for a reward. This crown of glory, it's sort of a byproduct of it. We don't seek a reward. We seek to honor God in all we say and do. Yeah, there'll be a reward involved, an eternal reward. We're not doing it for that reason. Motive matters, right? But because we serve a good God, that is going to happen. All right. Well, leaders need help many times too. And that's what we saw in Exodus. Moses, trying to do it all himself. He's got a lot of irons in the fire. He's in charge of a whole lot of people. And he has to guide them. He has to direct them. He has to protect them. He has to do all these things. And he's trying to go it alone pretty much. And besides that, people are coming to him with disputes. It says that he would sit sometimes from sunrise to sunset with people coming with disputes. He's got other things he needs to do. He needs to prioritize here. So the wisdom of an elder, his father-in-law, says, Moses, you're trying to do too much. Appoint some other people to help you. Leaders need to delegate if they're overwhelmed, not try to do it all themselves. There are some wonderful leaders out there who try to do it all themselves and get overwhelmed. But if they can find good and faithful people to help them, and that's what his father-in-law Jethro told him. Jethro was, he had great flocks, we know earlier, and then he was a priest, a Midianite priest. So he had some leadership experience, and he's trying to impart some of his wisdom to his son-in-law Moses here. All right, Moses is said, you must be the people's representative before God. So that's a big thing that he did, to be the representative before God, bring their disputes to him. Okay, this is Old Testament model. Now we can go directly to God, but they had to go through a mediator in a way to get to God. Now we can go directly, and that's a wonderful thing. But he tells them to teach them the decrees and laws, to teach them. And again, a leader must teach, an important thing there. Alrighty. Select capable men, like we said, yes, from all the people, men who fear God. I underlined that and circled it. Men who fear God. If I'm going to select leaders, that's probably one of the first things I'm looking for. Someone who fears God, who seeks to walk in His ways, who seeks to honor Him, When you have leaders like that, they are sure a lot easier to follow, aren't they? Think about political leaders, those that represent us at the state or federal level. If it's someone that honors God, I'm behind them, I'm there with them. And if it's someone that does not, and there are out there, absolutely, you know it as well as I do, it's a little harder to follow them, a lot harder to honor them. But we can always pray for them. Pray for your leaders. Help them, but pray for them, especially those that are not following God. I like to pray that they're going to have an awakening, that they're going to have a spiritual awakening, that they're going to repent and just turn and serve God with all that they have, to see through the lies and everything else, just to see the truth, to know the truth, and the truth would set them free. What a wonderful testimony they'd have. They could be telling everybody else, look what Jesus did for me. Wow, that's cool. And each one of us here today, I would hope that you've had some sort of spiritual awakening in your life, where all of a sudden everything just changed. You're following God with everything you got. What a wonderful deal. He can take anybody from any past and turn them around and bring out the good. It's just great. So to appoint these men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, again, the characteristics we listed right up front, we're hearing it here, and set them over groups of people to lessen his load, to lessen Moses' load, so that he can lead more efficiently. He can attend to the important things. Here they had set up like this Supreme Court and appellate courts and everything like that. This is the model right here, where the most important cases would rise up to Moses. Other than that, they could handle the lesser things. Alrighty. Now this, do people want to be led is another question. Someone once said people would rather be fed than led. Okay, they just want to be told what to do and they don't want to think for themselves. And I'm sure he's dealing with a lot of that too. But you got other people that want to lead, maybe for the wrong reasons. They're trying to rise up, so he's managing people as well. Again, he's got so many things going on. He needs the support of his people, and our leaders today do as well. Hebrews 13:7. I had just want to go that real quick here. From the author of Hebrews, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Remember them in your prayers, right? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. The leaders who spoke the word of God to you might have been a Sunday school teacher, might have been your parents, a friend or a neighbor, but someone that built you up in the faith. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Yeah, it ends in good things. And imitate their faith. Build up others as well. So an important instruction there that I just had to insert. Pray for your leaders and imitate those who have brought you up in the faith. Okay, lastly, we're going to go to the gospel here for a little bit and look at Jesus' view on leadership. Jesus is with his disciples and Zebedee's wife. Might have been Salome. We don't know her name for sure, but there's evidence it might have been that in the gospels if you put some pieces together. Came up and asked that her sons would be given special positions in the kingdom. Well, Jesus said, it's not for me to determine that, right? Okay, but the second half of this, we've heard that so many times before I preached on it, but the second half is what I'm really looking at today. The 10 heard about this, they were indignant. You can imagine those other 10. James and John want special place, huh? What about us? They think they're special? What's up with that? Okay, well, he dealt with it. Okay, you know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And that's what the rulers did during that time. They had that power. They would use it for their own selfish purposes, exercising authority over others to build themselves up and put others down. Not so with you. Here's the turning point. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first to attain the greatest one must be your slave. Not just a servant, but a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So following Jesus' example, again, he led by example and still does. That's what we need to strive to attain, his example. Leading by example, perhaps the most powerful technique of leadership. Again, you can tell people, but if you are willing to do it yourself, That's a humble leader, a servant leader. This servant leader started a movement that still survives today. That's why we're sitting here right now, because of what he did back then. Many other rebels started movements back then. They were squashed, okay? They had uprising and things like that, but he did it in a different way. It wasn't a military uprising. It was one of love. Loving your neighbor. Being there for him. Being compassionate. Being trustworthy. All these things. Who's going to speak against that? There's no laws against that, it says in Galatians, right? About being there for others and caring and being loving. Absolutely. And what it's resulted in is incredible. So following his example, we serve willingly. He willingly went to the cross. We serve willingly as well, offering ourselves up to God, who knows better than we do. We submit. We're humble. We just offer ourselves. We are followers. So yes, we'll have some leadership positions, but all of us are also followers. And being a good follower is important. Being a follower of Christ. There's that kids game we all played growing up. Follow the leader. Whatever the leader does, you do. The leader sets the example we follow. So with Christ as our leader, let us follow the leader.